Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndal. I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation on living the Catholic life. Here we are on this beautiful morning in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I am surrounded by five of my brothers who are really understanding of being dedicated to the Lord. But it's deeper than that. I want to start up by reading something out of the book of Acts. And it says here, "And so they were sent on their journey. Upon their arrival in Antioch, they gathered the assembly together and delivered the letter. When the people read it, they were delighted with the exhortation. Judas and Silas, who were with themselves prophets, exhorted and strengthened the brothers with many words." You know, there's an understanding about gathering as brothers and exhorting one another that lifts us up and edifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say that, I think of the group I'm with, and they go by the name of Arise. And these men have really created an understanding of gathering together and working for the Lord Jesus to bring other men closer to in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to welcome my guests here. First of all, I have on my side here Ward Yondo. Ward, welcome.
Thank you.
And Tony Buchek, thank you.
Good morning.
Dr. David Dembraver, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Deacon Jim.
Paul Dell.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, brother.
Yep.
And David Bevins, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, guys, I've had the privilege of seeing Arise in action. I've seen what you do and how you do it in the love of the Lord. But first of all, let's let our listeners understand, how did this start and what's the emphasis? Paul, you want to start us out?
Sure. Well, I can say with fairly good amount of confidence that none of us knew what we were getting ourselves into. That fateful morning, that wonderful morning, November 14th, 2009, different ones of us arrived at our meeting spot and realized that...
Oh, you're like a good Baptist, you know the exact date.
Yep, that restaurant was not open,
yeah.
And so we were nomads right away, and we ended up meeting at Coney and saying, well, what did you come here for? Really, we came from many different directions, I know that.
Okay.
I think the common thread was we were all looking for a deeper walk in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And we were looking to do that together somehow. I think for some of us, we'd had different experiences out there and tried different things. I think for some of us, our wives told us to go to something like this. I do really think that we came from different places, but the common thread was we were all hungry to live our Catholic faith,
yeah,
to have a more day-to-day walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. David, Dr. David, you were at that first meeting.
I was not.
I
was at the second one. No, I had caught wind that some guys were going to be meeting outside of another time we were meeting that wasn't working out for me, and I was looking for something in the morning, really. You know how the Lord works in so many different ways that I just needed something different to fit into my schedule, but I had a strong desire to gather, to pray, to study, and to fellowship with guys that really desired a closer walk with the Lord, and they wanted to live their faith in a strong way.
Yeah.
And the Lord, you know, He's so faithful, and He brought amazing men into my life, and these guys around me are my dear brother. So,
yeah, amen.
Yeah.
How about you, David Bevins? What was your first inclination on this?
Well, when you start hearing about, you know, Ward Yondo and Tony Buchek, and I didn't know Paul then, but, you know, David Dembraver, and if you can surround yourself with guys like that, a Christian alone is a Christian in danger, and the more strong, faithful men that you can get in your life intentionally makes all the difference in the world, and it has been just that blessing that Dr. Dave was talking about.
You know, and you say the word intentional. That's important because, you know, we have to do it intentionally. Otherwise, it's really not a journey for us, and it doesn't last. So it's a great understanding that you're doing this intentionally. Tony, how about you? Tony Buchek.
Yeah, as in like today's reading in 1 Kings, you know, King David said before he died, you know, take courage and be a man. There's something I always knew that I needed to be around men to be a better man, not just an average Joe sitting on a couch. And that's where I knew I wanted something, didn't know what it was. And at one time I was even to the point where, hey, I'm going to put something in a bulletin to try to see if anybody's interested.
Yes.
And my wife at the time was talking to Ward over here about, I don't know, whatever. She goes, oh, maybe you two need to talk together. And then... here we are today.
One thing leads to the other.
Yeah.
Paul, I'm sorry, Ward.
Well, it was, to me, I liken it to a 9/11 kind of a moment. I remember I was sitting next to Janice at the Right to Life banquet, and we were just talking about something more. I was striving and looking for and hungering for something more to grow my faith and to grow my walk, and a men's prayer group and getting together with strong men to pray. And Janice said, well, Tony's looking for that also. So here's his number, and I gave him a call, and that's the first time I met him. And he was quite intimidating. He's a mountain of a man. And my biggest, best brother. So it went from there. And like Paul said, we got together. We didn't really have a direction, but once we met one time, we decided, you know.
I know you guys well enough to know that you're led by the Spirit. And when you say there wasn't a direction, there was, but you had to find it through the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
You know, and the first thing I find intriguing is the name you chose. I have a sense of why it is, but who can tell me, why are you calling yourself Arise? Who could answer that?
It might have something to do with getting up at, 5:30 to be at a 6 o'clock meeting on a Saturday morning.
Yes, yeah. And that becomes a sacrifice.
It does.
Yeah.
As you know, some of us have told each other, there is no saint for sleeping in. There's no one for that. So
haven't found that yet.
I haven't found that one. So we get ourselves up on Saturday morning and gather together to arise together.
Again, when you use the word intentional, that had to be an intentional effort, correct? If you're going to gather, I mean, you could have chose 10 in the morning on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You decided on 6. Why?
I think for many men, they find the busyness of life is prohibitive almost for a prayer life. And everything we do flows out of our prayer life. And as I've talked to different men trying to walk the walk, that's the biggest challenge they have to their spiritual life is I don't have time.
Yeah.
I think it's the same challenge for family life, busyness. And we do something a little bit violent. And when I've given this talk before to men and boys, I say, now turn your ears, turn your eyes away if you're not 17 years old, because we're going to do something a little violent here this morning. Take your alarm clock and turn it back 30 minutes. And lo and behold, you are now a praying man. And so we're very direct. Arise. It's not all just about the holiness of arise. It's about the practical.
Yeah.
It's actually a direction to us.
Yep.
Arise and worship.
Yep. You know, when you use the word holiness, that's a beautiful word. All men are called to holiness. Each and every one of us are called to holiness. So I want the listeners today to understand that if you're listening to us, you are also called to holiness. But these are also men in different walks of life, different men who have gathered, like the Lord gathered when he was gathering his apostles. They were all from different walks of life. And that's what these men are. These are men who are really serving the Lord, all have full-time jobs, all are walking the walk. What I'd like to start out with is having our listeners understand that who you are, who you're inviting, what it takes to become part of Arise, and who can kind of fill me in on some of that. Go ahead and speak.
Well, we're men striving. Well, I'll throw in our mission statement here. Arise is together, men strive to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Okay. So we're coming together and we pray in the morning, Liturgy of the Hours, morning prayer, together as men. We also sing during that time.
Wonderful.
which is a little praying scary twice at first, but you know, once you get into doing it, it's pretty awesome. And then we dive into the Word, and we listen to the upcoming gospel for that coming Sunday or the next Sunday, and we listen to a podcast that comes down from either Father Robert Barron, Word on Fire, or Father John Ricardo, or Father Larry Richards.
Wonderful.
And then we break out into small groups, and we talk about how is the Lord speaking to us to become the men, the fathers, the husbands, the friends, the disciples that he created us to be.
Let me interject something. You started out as how many men originally for your first group?
Six.
And what are you up to now? On an average, what would you think you're getting?
Over 20.
Yes. 25 to 25.
Yeah. 25. Yep. So you're growing. Praise be to God. So when you say, Ward, you break into groups, how many would break into a group and have a discussion?
We try to shoot for four men in a group is sort of, we've come to that being an ideal number.
Okay.
And then, you know, we stay away from the theological debate, and we strive to dig into, you know, how is the Lord speaking to us
right.
to become the men and you know, the more practical spiritual connection with Arise, how can we arise up to that challenge?
Yes, exactly.
And what can we do that next week to become?
So your task is to break open the Word and then listen perhaps to a homily of one of the fathers who have broken open the Word, and then how you discern it and how it reflects your life. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you gather back as a group to really kind of go over that.
Yes.
That's wonderful. As you develop this and you come into your Saturday mornings, do you have a sense of dedicating that day to also our Blessed Mother, being the Saturdays?
Absolutely.
Yes? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. We one of the things we try to do, particularly in our small groups, is give our mother a shout out, you know. So when we open up the small group time, we do that in prayer, and we do ask for her intercession.
Okay.
Specifically to lead our discussion, because she leads everyone to Christ, and that's where we're heading.
Wonderful. You know, and as our men are listening, I want you to know that these men are welcoming. These are welcoming men who would love to see your face at the Arise group. But, you know, I go ahead, Paul.
You know, to go back to that question of who comes.
Yes.
And normal Joe Catholic comes. You don't have to be holy to come.
Right.
That's what we're trying to be. And I think that's one of the things that we've discovered as we avoid the theological discussions is, how are you living out this gospel? Or not.
Yes.
And in small groups, we do get real with each other. And we do say, I was impatient with my wife last night. We do say, sometimes I don't treat my children well. And we commit to each other to pray for one another and to take the grace that's available to us. I know one of the experiences of some of the men that would come, they can look at this group of men, 25 men. It's a little intimidating, especially that early in the morning. We haven't always...
I've seen it larger, too.
Yes, it's been larger.
Yes.
And we haven't shaven yet, some of us, and our hair is sticking in funny places. And they can think, these guys have it all together. None of us have it all together. And I think that's what we experience, the camaraderie, not just in the strength, but we experience camaraderie in that we're struggling sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're weak. And sometimes we need the brother standing next to us. Ecclesiastes says, the one man will prevail against another, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken.
That's right.
A threefold cord is not easily broken.
That's right. Wonderful. Dr. David, as you witness this, you've been growing with it. How did you get to these numbers to begin with? I mean, how have you been growing this?
I was thinking about, as these guys were kind of describing the structure and who might come and what kind of becomes attractive to men, it really starts out with first, you know, practical stuff. Like, there are guys committed to simply, and this sounds silly to me at first, but there's guys simply that will make coffee every single Saturday. So that's not, but there's a hospitality, there's a welcoming,
yes,
like you described. And that is faithful every single Saturday. We don't take summers off. I mean, we just meet. I mean, there can be a storm, and there's still somebody going to be there praying. And that's where it starts. It really started with guys committing to prayer.
Yes.
Once you lock into prayer, praying the liturgy of the hours, morning prayers, praying with the church is phenomenal. So when you gather with men and you're praying together, all of a sudden you're like, what? It's new. It was so new for me, gathering together and praying the liturgy of the hours. So that was really attractive. And then when you sat down, and I think what Paul described is so great, the discussion in our small groups. That's kind of where the rubber meets the road, so
yes,
to speak. I mean, that's where you can, you know, you say, how did this gospel hit you? What did you think about the homily? And then you apply it to your life. And when you apply it to your life, and then you listen to other guys that may have approached a situation a little differently or have done something different with their kids, and you're there, and the Holy Spirit is driving this, and Our Lady is there, and all the saints are,
yes,
encamped around this thing, you when you leave there, you're a different guy.
Yeah.
And so after a while, I could not be there. I mean, all of a sudden my wife saw a change. My children said, Dad, you seem to be more patient. Are you going to that Arise thing on Saturday morning? You know, all my kids are sleeping.
Please go, right?
Yeah, please go. And then I'll tell you the biggest obstacle, I don't know what it's meant for you brothers, but it's just when I have invited a guy, because, you know, when you find something that you really love, you want to share it? I do. I would love anybody hearing this, any man who's kind of considering, what can I do? Try it out. Come to St. Thomas and see. You'll find welcoming arms, but really, you'll meet face-to-face with our Lord, our Lady, the Church. Yep. And so that's what I couldn't not come anymore. And then we banded together and developed a deeper core, and we can talk about that probably in a little while.
We will.
But where we discuss things at even kind of a deeper level in more practical ways in our life. So it's been such a blessing in my life. So.
You know, David, you said something there too, because when men gather together in prayer, there's a dynamic that goes on. It's much different than when you pray alone. But when you pray as men together, you pray as church. Mm-hmm. And you begin to really come into the presence of the Lord in a more profound way, because you're watching your brothers also being elevated into a position of a beautiful prayer. And that's a wonderful thought. And I invite men who are listening today to take the effort. Maybe just take a chance and come to St. Thomas on one of these occasions on a Saturday morning. It means you got to set that alarm back 30 minutes become a man of prayer. But they start at 6 in the morning faithfully, or 6:10 in the morning faithfully.
Yeah, we kind of gather, though, at 6, though. So that's when we get it, because we start right on the button at 6:10.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
Now, Arise is just not a prayer group. It is more than that. It's a discussion group. It's going into the understanding of who we are as men at the church. But it also has formed its own pillars, because there is an accountability. And, you know, we men need accountability. We need to be held accountable by one another as brothers, because that's what the Lord calls us to, is to, when he sends them out two by two, he knows they can't do it alone, nor can we.
Yes.
And so, can somebody tell me what these pillars are that you've formed to help men grow in faith? Tony, how about you?
Yeah, we came up with five pillars that we thought were super important. Daily morning prayer.
Now, when you say, let me call our
liturgy of the hours.
Okay, liturgy
of the hours.
Okay.
Praying daily with your wife.
Okay.
Making a commitment to pray sometime during the day with your wife.
Does it have to be any particular time?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Okay. Adoration for 2 hours a month.
Okay. Now, that's a different one for a lot of men listening. You know, and that's a challenging one, because adoration is a little bit foreign to a lot of our Catholic brothers. So that's going to be a challenge, but accept the challenge.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Abstinence from meat on Friday, going back to the old Catholic ways, which is
a little
challenging for some of us.
A little bit of fasting.
Yep. And then monthly reconciliation.
Okay.
Now, the one thing, too, I guess, just to mention on those pillars, I mean, that's something that, you know, men out there, don't think if you come here that you need to do these right away. That's something that it's just out there for everyone. If you want a deeper thing, it's out there for you. You know, we as a group five in here decided that's something we really wanted to call each other to, and there's other groups that are doing it, but it's not something that if you come that, you know, that you have to do to be part of Arise.
The theory that we've always worked under is that Arise, you can come once a month, once every 2 months, and that's fine. That's good. If you want more, we have it there for you to have more.
Yeah,
that's the offering.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or it's an accepting. It's almost, there's layers in Arise, and purposefully, I think Holy Spirit made that clear to us early on, that we need to keep this open to as many men as possible that would like to come at any level. So there is the, like David's just said, once every week or once every 52 weeks or anywhere in between there, you're welcome. There is no, you're not going to miss something if you come one weekend and then you miss the next Saturday, and then you come the next day. It's not like you're going to be behind, or you know, there's no book studies or anything like that. So, but if you do come and you want to challenge yourself to strive a little deeper, there are the pillars.
Exactly.
And then, like David mentioned earlier, that you know, then the core isn't even. You know,
yeah, we're going to get into that core in a minute. So, the five pillars are actually something you strive for. It's not, you're not going to hit the mark 100% of the time, obviously. None of us do.
Right.
But it really gives you a goal to try and set as men of the Lord. And that keeps you on track and it keeps you accountable, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Do you hold yourself accountable for the pillars?
Yes, we do.
wonderful.
We do in a daily way. We share with each other a line from the scriptures that struck us from morning prayer. We try to, and we don't do that every day.
Yeah.
And what's very interesting to me is each of us five, we struggle with different pillars at different times in our walk, and we hold each other up.
Yeah.
It's very infrequent that all of us fulfill all those five pillars every month.
Exactly.
In fact, we've never done that. That's why we put the word strive
exactly
in our mission statement, because we're on the road. We're not there yet.
I think St. Paul said something about run the race, and I don't know if I don't look back. Well, that's basically what you're doing. You continue to run the race. Maybe you don't fulfill the pillars every month, but you know what? Mm-hmm. You continue to strive and don't look back, because that's really a growth in the Lord. So as you go through this, When you have this accountability, we were talking about this group as you come there every Saturday, the whole group gathers, correct? But then there is a time when you break off into different elements, different groups. What do you call those now? What are those groups that you break off into individually, not on the Saturday?
Those are called core groups.
Okay.
So core, the heart of the matter, the core, get down to business.
Okay.
I mean, the core, your heart, your soul, your foundation. And, you know, it's a group of men that have decided to hold each other accountable, you know, beyond Saturday, and with those pillars that we just talked about. And that has been, personally for me, just an incredible blessing.
David, tell me what one looks like. What does it look like?
So once a month, and we meet on Sunday morning from 7 till 9, or 7 till 8:45, and then we come together, we gather, and we pray, and we do morning prayer together, and then from morning prayer, and see, that's what I love. I mean, time and time again, you'll hear about Arise. These are men who pray. And, I mean, we've talked about that. Paul said that we're going to do something violent. I love that. Paul has so many cool things. So, you know, you set your alarm back 30 minutes. It is a sacrifice. And then once you sacrifice, the Lord just blesses that. And really, now it's not even... Now you look forward to prayer.
I was going to ask you. I would imagine it's no longer sacrifice, but you anticipate getting together with your brothers.
Yes, yeah, for sure. So you gather, we do morning prayer, then we break down, and of course then there's hospitality. So there's always this kind of the serving thing. We rotate leaders, so the leader is in charge of leading prayer, and then we have another brother who leads the discussion, and they there's a little time of hospitality, grab a coffee, grab a little bite to eat, and then we hunker down, and then we go over the pillars. And then the leader for that day will just simply say, hey, let's go over the pillars. And then each man, each guy in the group goes around and tells us about how they've done in the last month with the pillars.
Okay.
And we go around the table and discuss that.
That's wonderful. So you started out with your group as a core group.
Correct.
How many core groups are you up to now?
Four.
Four? That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. These are men who are committed now to this group.
Very much so.
That's one. Because that's really a growth in the spirit when you see that. Because as the core groups grow, then so will the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what, you know, you talked a little bit about a typical Saturday. Give me a typical look at what it would be from say, 6:10 until 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
What would a typical meeting look like?
For core or for a regular Saturday?
For the regular Saturday.
Well, I think Ward did a great job of kind of walking us through that bare bones. You know, we meet, we gather at 6, from 6:10 to about 6:35, 6:40, we do morning prayer. And so we do that in unison, chanting, or not chanting, but call back and forth between half of the room.
Okay.
And then from about 6:40 to probably 6:55 or so, we really have an intentional kind of just space where we have a cup of coffee, we just talk as men, and we just allow that bond, that fellowship to grow a little bit before then we sit down together, read the gospel for the next Sunday, for the next day.
Okay.
And then listen to a homily. And usually the homilies are 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then from there, we break into small groups and spend, so usually about half an hour to 40 minutes in a small group of usually 4 to 5 men, just breaking down what that was, what the gospel was, what struck you from the gospel, how is it affecting your life. And one of the things that I think is really important about that time. We aren't trying to fix each other in that time. Yeah. Men try to fix things.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we've been very intentional about not doing that. We speak into each other's life. I mean, we can you know, try to raise each other up. But, you know, when somebody says, well, I was kind of mean with my kids last night, I was a little, you know, we don't have like four guys going, well, here's what you got to do, you know. it's more like, hey, brother, we're with you. You know, you're better than that. We'll call you better. We're all better. We fall too. Yeah. So I just think that's one of the key things to know about that time. And then when that time is over, usually about 7:35, we gather back together as a group. The small groups then share with one another kind of what are the one or two or three main points of your time together. We then close with Scott Hahn, Dr. Scott Hahn's. He does a 3-minute summary of all the readings.
Right.
And then we pray together and we go out and we hopefully are, as we've said, different.
Yeah, changed. Yes. Changed. You know, David, what you've just described is really being a spiritual director to one another, because what you're doing is you're journeying together. Mm. And again, it's not a time where you're critical of one another. It's a time where you grow with one another. And men are free to share their faith, to share their downfalls, what at that moment is stopping them from fulfilling the pillars that you might have. And that becomes important, because then you start to journey with them, and they begin to grow in your love and in faith. Mm-hmm. And I see Paul over here shaking his head.
It really strikes me. We want to be radical disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We want to be radical disciples of Jesus Christ. And I use that word intentionally, because in some ways it can sound flaky or marginalized or weird, and we want to do the opposite. We want to use the word radical in the sense of root. We want to be hyper-focused on the core.
Well, we talk about the radicalized teachings of Christ, and that, yes, that's what you're living.
And so part of what you can get lost in the forest with, we just ran through that schedule with minutes and detail that our lawyer friend David here just did.
So aptly put, yes.
Yes, and we've spent countless hours fine-tuning things, but really, when I say radical, I mean simple.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what we're doing, is we simply do two things on Saturdays. We pray the scriptures, mm-hmm, and then we look at the gospel. That's it.
Yeah.
And we discuss whether we're really living that. And I've often said, wouldn't it be great if we had Jesus' prayer book? What we couldn't get on eBay for Jesus' prayer book.
Mm-hmm.
And brothers, we have Jesus' prayer book. And it's been translated into English, and it's called the Psalms.
Yes.
And I do think there's a renewal in the church of an emphasis and focus on, let's pray these scriptures.
The heart of the church.
And
the heart of the church.
And Paul VI started promoting it, not only among clergy, but among the lay.
Yeah.
And I think it's having its effect, that we're praying the very prayers Jesus prayed. And the cool thing is, they are about every emotion and every situation that comes up in the human life. And what men find is, oh my goodness, real foible people, real men like me who mess up sometimes,
yes,
or who get angry or impatient or even lament how my life is going at times. Yeah. I find my words in those Psalms. So the simplicity and the radicalness of praying the Psalms every day has been transformational in the life of men.
You know, Paul, something you said, something important too, is that this type of activity arise does not start in the clerical, at the clergy level. This starts at the ground level. And this is where the church's heart is, because all these movements, really all the great movements in the church, have started at the ground level with the lay people. Because you are church, and you're really growing this and have an understanding of being men of the Lord, because without you, then we wouldn't have the church. That's the reality. Has anybody here, at first of all, when you first went to the first time, been intimidated a little bit by what was going on?
Of course. Yeah, there is something. Praying with other men is awesome, and it's great. But when you first start, it can be intimidating, especially when you're called to lead. And a couple of my dear brothers here stretched me quite a bit as far as leading and leading the discussion groups and that time and leading men in prayer. It's, you know, can I pass on that one?
Yeah.
Nope. You've got to. We all are going to do what we're called to do here. And you get there, and I can't put a word to it But when you lead men in prayer, there is something unique about that, and it can be intimidating, but it's just like anything else. You trust in the Holy Spirit, and you pray through it, and then it just becomes such an awesome experience.
So your brothers have helped you to grow in being able to lead men now.
Yes. Okay. And you know, and we're all in business, and we all have, you know, I'm in sales, and I've made.
I was going to know you're the only one here with a tie on this morning. So.
And you know, getting in front of people typically is not an issue.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, leading men in prayer. It was the first time I've ever made a sales call.
You know, I'm glad to say, because I just want to go around the room here very quickly. You're in sales, Tony. What
automotive engineer.
Okay, Dr. David.
Optometrist.
And
Principal
Paul Dull.
Yes, thank you. I'm principal of a Christ-centered high school.
Okay, and David Bevins.
I'm a lawyer.
And with
Rhodes McKee.
Wonderful, wonderful. And the reason I ask that is I want the men listening to know that we're just guys who walk a walk and live a life and go out and earn a living, but we live for the Lord. And we look at life differently now. We look at it as a gift. We look at our jobs as a gift. We look at as our family as a gift. And so I think about, as I gather and look at these men in right here in this room, would any of you here trade where you're at right now? In the walk with the Lord?
No.
No.
No. No.
Were you always there?
No.
No.
No. I mean, this has had been an inspiration for all of you to really come into this understanding. Now, I know some of you are already walking in a walk with the Lord, but not in the intensity that you are now with this group of men.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, one thing I think that we have to have our listeners understand is, first of all, we're inviting them to St. Thomas, correct?
Yes.
I mean, really, to come there would be an eye-opener for many of them. And it may be a chance for them to look and see what you're doing, and if they're so inclined, maybe to start something like this in their own parish. Mm-hmm. But I think, why try and reinvent the wheel? They can see what you're doing.
And when you say St. Thomas Deacon, we mean that's where we meet. But already we have people from multiple parishes that meet with us every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. If you're wondering which Saturday we meet, here it is, every Saturday morning, and I did say a.m., hence arise. Arise, my man. Yeah. You can do it. And it's not just for St. Thomas people. That's where we meet.
Exactly.
We're at St. Thomas Ministry Center, 6 a.m. this very Saturday, or the next Saturday.
Right. Or every other Saturday.
You. You know, and I just want to add to that, that while I was stretched and challenged and, you know, we spoke to accountability, I have to say the difference was, as opposed to my job, when I made a bad presentation, I didn't get the sale. These brothers were there to support me. They were there to walk me through it and love me through any challenge that came up in the group, and the accountability piece, it's not as if you're going to, you know, get mocked or yelled at, or what a picture came when you were talking about Paul's running the race, St. Paul, not our St. Paul, but the you know, you fall down and you scrape your knee, and you've got brothers there to lift you up and direct you back in towards that goal, and that's the kind of accountability and the help that is there. It's not a challenge where, you know, you're left out on an island by yourself.
Right. Tony, when you go back into your engineering mode after you've left this group, how does it affect you at your job?
It affects me because I keep remembering, like, things I've gotten from morning prayer or through the group on Saturday to be more patient, to always ask the Lord to be with me before I go into a meeting, so I might not go off on a bunch of people. And, you know, I'm just much more calm than what I used to be.
Yeah.
So it really helps.
It does, because we're men who are called to be controlled, mm-hmm. and to love everybody, and that's a tough one, right?
Yes, it is.
You know, Jesus says, you know, it's easy to love those who love you. You mm-hmm. love your enemies. So, and many times we come up with that challenge as men. You know, the important part of it is I'm hearing what you're doing, and I'm hearing the times you're meeting every Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, every Saturday.
Which one?
every Saturday.
Will there be coffee there? Is there coffee?
Lots of coffee.
How early, though?
Yeah.
Brother David, how early is it?
Early.
It's early time. 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we're making that known now. 6 o'clock, gather.
And the door's open, and everyone, you know, all these guys that are listening to this, they're very welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so they know that.
Yeah, and those of you that have to... Excuse me, Brent. Those of you that have to set your clock back more than a half hour, you're welcome to.
That's right. You know, and here's the important part, is you men have been doing this on a regular basis now, so it's becoming second nature. Mm-hmm. It's something you look forward to. But I think it's more important that our listeners understand how it's affected you and changed your lives. What has it done for you? Because if there's no value to it, why come?
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Right. Amen.
So... what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to go around the table here. Give me an understanding of what this has done to you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, how it's changed your family life, how it's changed your business. I mean, what has it done for you? David, the attorney, you start with this.
Well, sure. You know, I heard recently, and I can't remember who said it, but there's somebody famous that said it, but there's a Catholic way of holding a pencil, right? And so it has affected... Absolutely. And when you grow in your love of the Lord through the Catholic Church, it affects every aspect of you. And that's our intention. So I think I am a better father to my children. I'm more patient with them. I'm much more attentive to my wife. And part of what we do on Saturday mornings, particularly our core group, is it's servant. We're servant leaders. And so diving into that... That mode of service in all that I do. So I try to serve my wife and serve my kids. And when I'm at work, you know, I mean, I serve when I'm... I try to serve when I'm leading. I mean, I try to always... The goal is to think of the other first.
Right.
Always the other first. And I fail all the time on that. But I'm striving for that.
I'm compelled to ask this. Do you find it difficult to live a Catholic life in the world of a lawyer?
There's a challenge there, sure, because there's conflict, right? Yeah. I mean, that's part of what I do is conflict.
Right.
But even in that conflict, I mean, you know, you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Exactly.
And so that's what I strive to do. I strive to seek... we seek justice, and so I try to focus on the truth and the justice. And when I'm focusing on those two things in my job... then I can walk it with my head held high.
Wonderful.
I don't have to worry so much about the conflict because I know that what I'm striving for is what our you know is just.
Yeah. Have people in your life seen a change in you because of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My kids have remarked on it. My wife has remarked on it. I think people at work remember me from years ago and just to put it charitably, notice the difference.
How about you, St. Paul?
Oh, I'm still Saul of Tarsus on the road here. But thank you for that. Yes, I would say I have companions now. That's the chief difference. And I'm kind of a word nerd. So companions is who do I break bread with?
Mm-hmm.
And many of us in this busy life, we don't have friends. And honestly... our chief companion is supposed to be our wife, and I know I'm more of a companion to her. Some of us have lives and schedules that sometimes we don't even have time to break bread with our wife.
Yeah.
And who is our companion? And I'm more attentive to my chief companion, Jesus Christ, and I have become more attentive to my wife through this group. I'm listening to others. You know, as a principal, I have so many tasks. I'm usually triple tasking all through the day, and I like the energy of that. But one of the things I've grown in this group is I'd be thinking of the next thing I'm doing as someone's standing there talking to me. I don't know if you've ever done that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm standing there thinking, well, what am I going to say as soon as they stop talking? And I've learned through companions, through friendships, through these brothers, to listen to them, but to really hear them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's affected my relationship with my wife. I've had teachers tell me they feel more heard by me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the chief things that I value in this group is I now have companions, I have brothers, I have friends And, you know, when I was, at one point I was principal of a K-8 building, and I learned that kindergartners don't really play together. Sorry. They do what's called parallel play. They just happen to be doing the same thing next to each other.
Exactly.
And I think some of us are so busy and really have lost hope for companionship, masculine friendship, friendship with our wife.
Yeah.
And we're doing parallel play. And I have, it's become a more humanly rich life. And I'm going to be honest and vulnerable on the radio here. Sometimes I do my prayers walking in the morning at 4:45.
Yeah.
And it's dark and you can see the stars and the moon.
Yeah.
And sometimes I skip in my neighborhood for the joy of the life the Lord has given me.
Isn't that wonderful?
The joy. I have companions in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him. Yeah. I know his love.
Yeah.
I know his joy. And I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. You know, something, Paul, you said another thing that I think about is that we as men, if we start into this prayer life and in companionship, we learn to prioritize. And we now value our wives more because you said, you know, we could so easily just not take time with them. And here they are. We're a covenant relationship with them.
Yes.
And yet we can dismiss it so easily. And then as we grow as men and mature in our prayer life, we begin to value the gift that they are to us and the journey they're on with us.
If I could say one more thing that I thought of while you were speaking.
I don't think I could stop you.
While you were speaking, I was thinking the next thing I was going to say, I'm still in process, is the Mass has become a whole different ballgame for me. Again, I would speak too much to it. But speaking of who am I going to break bread with, talk about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Honestly, it's hard for me to make it back to the pew when I receive the Lord.
Yeah.
So because of these brothers, because of their holiness, and their appreciation of the Lord and Eucharistic adoration, I now know him more.
Yeah.
And I know what's happening at that altar, that Calvary is coming to that altar and our future life, heaven is coming to that altar.
Yeah.
And we're surrounded there by our brothers and sisters, all the saints and angels. What a meal. What a companionship.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think we as men have learned to enter into the mystery at the altar.
Mm.
Many of our Catholic brothers, hopefully, are listening to this. That's really a dimension of our Catholic faith we've lost, is many of our Catholic brothers and sisters, they come there for that 45 minutes or an hour, and they hear the music. And I'm not saying they come to be entertained, but they don't come to enter into a mystery that's starting at that altar. And that's really, we as Catholics, that's the source and summit of our faith, what goes on at that altar. But you also said a word that's, you know, kind of hard for many Catholic men to relate to in this day and age, is adoration. And you guys hold yourself to the task of 2 hours of adoration, which is sitting in the presence of the Lord in front of the corpus. And that is a powerful understanding of really drawing a relationship with God. So I thank you for that. That you guys, that's a wonderful pillar. Dr. David, how's it changed your life?
Well, I'm not skipping at all. I would love. Can we let us know when you're going to be skipping? Exactly. You know when that's going to happen to you? That manifestation.
You get my video camera.
Yeah. YouTube.
I know.
That's private. I usually charge if you're going to watch.
Thank you. That's just awesome. I appreciate this question so much, and because it has affected me profoundly. I would say profoundly. And the biggest thing is just the strategies I have, the tools in my toolbox, which I didn't put there. So in tools to my toolbox to deal with my, first of all, my children. So,
and I must say, five daughters,
I have,
right?
So five daughters. The responsibility, because I want to love them so well. I really want to be the best dad I can be. I want to be the best husband. And on my own, I was okay, I guess, in the world's eyes. But I found that when you develop a relationship with the Lord, and then you do it in community with brothers that are serious about it, and you listen, God gives you all these new ways to look at life. I've become more patient listening to my patients when they come into my office. With my staff, I just have I have a different language now.
Yeah.
So this group has changed my language. And language is key. Communication is key in my work. And listening to people. And then helping, especially my five daughters and my wife. I mean, my job is to lead and get them to heaven.
Yeah.
And to sacrifice and love them deeply so they can see a godly father, that type of image. So just what we do on Sundays around our house or during the week. Just the dialogue, the ability to draw out from Scripture, because I've listened, I've studied, and I've entered in because I have brothers that are calling me to say, hey, don't forget to pray. You know, and then on Saturdays when we gather together, I'm hearing things from the priests in our podcast homily, and to then what we do in small groups. I have all these new techniques to share the gospel and the Scripture with my family. My girls, and they get excited about it.
Yeah.
How come home? We discuss the gospel. And the reason is because I've heard it a few times.
Yes.
I've read it. I studied it.
Yeah.
What a difference that makes. It's life-changing.
It is. It is life-changing.
That's the biggest thing for me.
That's wonderful. And Tony, how has it affected you?
The same. The biggest thing is with, you know, in the past, before this group and before I was really in the cores and all the pillars and stuff, my wife Janice was pretty much a spiritual leader in my household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd say that, but she was.
And you say that
now.
You say
that
honestly and openly. You know, that's typical of many households today, and that's got to. We have to change that. Would you agree, men?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest changes that this has helped me do. The other biggest thing is to tag on to Skippy here.
I'm kind of sorry.
I was going to be vulnerable here. Yeah,
you know you have a new name now.
You can edit this, right?
The friendship part, I mean, you know, just to bring it real for me, I mean, 10 years ago my mom died of cancer. I didn't have a group of friends like this around me. And I think, oh, I can handle this, no problem, I'm good. And that's why I think most men are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this past year I lost a brother and my dad. You know, with having this group of guys knowing they're praying for you, they're there for you if you need anything, it's tremendous a difference having this group of men.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You know, and you're so right, Tony, because we have to go through this grief in our lives also. I mean, we have joy, but we have grief. But how much easier it is, and I'm not saying that it makes it palatable, but when you know that you have brothers that are walking with you who have shared the same things, we didn't know that as men without the Lord, did we? I mean, I didn't have that sense in my life, in my early years, that I was sharing this with brothers. So that's a powerful thought, that we have that ability to share as brothers our miseries and our joy.
Right.
And what better way?
Well, we don't have enough time left for me to go into everything that's changed in my life. But to tag on with everyone else.
Did you wear a tie before you met this group?
Yes.
Okay.
My wife and my children, my wife especially, our relationship has grown immensely. I was AWOL as a husband and a father. And that has changed immensely.
Yeah.
And it continues to change, and it's nowhere near where it needs to be. But I think overall, in work, I've been a better employee for my employer.
Yep.
The success in learning how to trust in Christ in everything that I do, and that's an ongoing battle, but it's miles away from where it was prior to this. But to know that, you know, to understand the world's definition of friendship and being a man, and then, you know, 4 years here later with this group, to understand Christ's definition of what he expects of us as men,
right,
and a friend and husband and everything that's tied into that. There's a patience and a peace that comes with that, which then instills courage to move forward and to give us the fortitude to strive towards becoming those men. And you know, it's okay to be weak,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay to fall down and to fall short when you know that the Lord is there at every turn, and to just have a piece of understanding of how much he loves us and what he calls us to, how he calls us to love one another and to be there for one another. You know, that's all inclusive. That's our wives, that's our children, that's our fellow employees and our employer and our customers and each other. And it's just it's the difference is how I live and how I walk through life. It's just awesome. I can't imagine
and I've had this conversation with some other people, not having these friends in Christ, and you know, and it came up, and well, where would you like to live? Anywhere you could, if you could live anywhere you could. And well, you know, if I could bring my brothers with me, but if I can't, I'm not going anywhere.
You got to pass up by your wife first?
Yeah, well, right. But, you know, God bless her. She'll go wherever I go.
You know, and people listening, they know this too. This does not happen overnight. No. This is a journey. This is a change of heart. This is a metamorphosis. This is really changing who we are and understanding who we are. And you know, I hate to reiterate this because some of you had to listen through my homily, but I'm going to reiterate one of the things that Saint Augustine said in his Confessions. He said that men go abroad to admire the height of the ocean, and they go there to look at the power of the seas, and they go there to look at the broad spans of the rivers and the circuitry of the stars and the compass of the ocean, yet pass over the mystery of themselves without a thought. And I think of that both physically and spiritually. How many men pass over the mysteries of themselves and who they are in Christ and never develop that relationship with him or his brothers and sisters? That's really what you're doing, is you're drawing men to the mystery of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because who we are is because of our baptism. As baptized Catholics, we're in the image and likeness of God. And we're called to be holy as God is holy. And how do we do that? Fellowshipping, because you can't do it on your own. Would you agree with me with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you just can't, because it's virtually impossible. You can't grow from your own knowledge, because what you don't know, you don't know. And so I'm sure. I mean, how much have you learned from one another? Tell me that.
It's almost incapable of being described. I mean, just the different way that we live our faith. I mean, just to see that example. I mean, the way that I live my faith is different from Paul and David and Tony and Ward, and the way that I think David was speaking to that a little bit. I mean, just to be together and see how somebody else reacts to a situation where I might have, you know, reacted poorly, and to see a great example of somebody not reacting poorly and how that looks and how it can happen and how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else have any feelings on that one? Just how you've watched and grown from your other brothers, watching them in their lives? It's really an understanding of how you react isn't always the best way or the worst way. It's just a different way.
Right.
That does, and going back to what I had said earlier, how the impact it's had on me, is the way when we've met a lot of times in different capacities, just to plan and talk and discuss. And so how have these men impacted me? It's when you enter into a situation, and for a lot of guys, and for me, you know, the unknown was scary, because, you know, you want to be in control. You want to jump in and say, okay, I've got this down. And you find out you don't got this down. But guess what? That's a great thing to realize in yourself. And then when you have other men that are looking out for the good in you, that they want to raise up and draw out the good in you, it starts to come out. You have to, like Ward was saying, trust in the Lord. And so, like I said earlier, I have all this new language that I'm sharing with Amy, my wife. My daughters, they're friends when they come over. When we drive to Mass and there's girls in our car and we stop to pray before we enter in, it's the fruit of this group. It's the knowledge of the Word. It's becoming a man of prayer.
Yeah.
It's being rubbing shoulder to shoulder, iron sharpening iron. That your language and your attitude, I become more patient with others and the different way they would handle a situation that I never thought about outside myself, because I thought, well, the way I'm doing it is the right way, because it's just, but it's all I knew.
Yeah.
And you want to know more than that, because there's people that have come from different circumstances, different backgrounds. You want to be all things to all people in love to draw the good out of them.
Amen.
And how can you do that alone? It was impossible for me.
Right.
Maybe some guys out there can do it, man. If they do, call me and tell me, and I'll say, oh, okay. But you know, you can't. You're built for community and communion with our Lord. And these guys have just thrown
all their great stuff on top of me and help me in so many ways. So that would happen to any man right. who enters into right. this.
And you
it would
said happen we're called to gather. But yeah. now, let me ask you a question. We can be honest here, just as Skippy was with the rest of us here.
You know, I needed a little bit of a rebuttal time when you finished with that.
Here's a question. In this, and I would be the same way. How many of you think about what you're doing and think of the repercussions of your brothers having to hear what you did, rather than just saying you're not really talking about doing it for God, but you really have this keen sense that your brothers are going to be looking at it?
Well, that's part of the accountability yeah. piece that mm-hmm. that we've discussed a lot. You know, you just if you can have. If you can have the true heart to go enter into prayer, to enter into to yeah. everything you do, that's the goal.
Amen.
But you know what? It's not the reality. Yeah. So we just, but you know, sometimes when you know, I'm thinking about morning prayer. It is a reality that you know what? If I don't text these guys with something this morning, they're gonna know I didn't do morning prayer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we're not entering into everything with the true heart like it should be, but you're still entering. So doing, you know, praying is way better, no matter how you enter into it, than not praying.
That's right. And practice makes perfect.
Yes. Exactly.
My brother Paul is waiting to get in on a rebuttal.
Yes, sir. So I need to restore a little bit of my macho here today with a couple of sports analogies. Going back to your question of how did this come about, this didn't just happen. At the risk of sounding too polished today, see, I want to avoid that because this was hard work.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord rubbed some rough edges off of each other. We had discussions in trying to form this and with each other, and we didn't meet each other's expectations. We've raised our voices with each other. I think at different times, each of us wanted to walk away.
Yep.
And I want to give the false impression that this was a nice, pious Catholic thing that happened.
Right.
That this took all the manhood we had to stay. And I not only skip, at one point in my life, to set humility aside, I boxed through the University of Michigan, and I know how to knock someone down with this big right hand. I never got really good at this thing, but I remember the first time I took a punch square in the face from Father Pat Egan, who helped found the U of M Boxing Club, and I found my feet still underneath me. I said, oh my goodness, I can take a punch.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's happened here is, many times in modern culture, if we have a conflict, especially with a man, we walk away and we don't come back. And here, it has been hard. But when is a basketball player most happy? When he's playing basketball. And I've asked some of the students I've had, well, what if it's a tough opponent? All the more joy. I get to put all my whole self into it. And I've asked them, did Jesus Christ lose his joy on the cross?
That's right.
Or was it when he is sacrificing and his heart is exploding full of love?
Yes.
So this has not been easy. It's taken all we've had to stay. And I think it's worth it.
Thank you, Paul. You know, we kid you about that, but you know, David went dancing before the Lord.
Thank you.
And his wife was severely reprimanded because she said it. So let's ask the Lord to be kind to us and teasing you on that. But guys, I want to thank you for being here today because this is important for men to hear. And I would encourage the men again that every Saturday, 6 o'clock in the morning at St. Thomas the Apostle Parish, these men are gathering. Everyone is welcome. We have men from all different parishes, and it can be non-Catholics also, correct? We're welcoming men to really come and share the life of Christ with us. So I want to thank you all for being here. I wish we had more time today, but I think men have a good glimpse of what's going on and how the Lord is working in our lives. Thank you again for your faithfulness. I mean that sincerely because, you know, if you don't, who will? And that really is an understanding of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to end by saying, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these men. And as we gather here, those who are listening, may their hearts be drawn to a deeper encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. May they know his love and his mercy. And may they be men who are thirsting and hungry for something deeper in their life and more profound. And all are welcome that Jesus would be all in all in their life and they may share this love of Christ with these men. I ask you, bless us this day in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to thank all our listeners for Holy Family Radio. And we thank you, men, for being here. Thank you, men of Arise. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndale, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.